Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Unveiling the new man. And I want to implore you to please get the message. It's a 2-hour Bible study class yesterday, looking at the prophetic giftings. And if you were not here, I want to encourage you to please get that message. It's quite a long one, some questions and answer. So please listen to it. Take your time. It's quite a long one, but listen to it. And can ask your questions at some other time. So I'm just going to continue from there. Hopefully I can back up a bit. I hope I can. But this is the third part of that message. Several years ago, the Lord, after an experience with the Lord, we had been with him in the throne room, and then I came out and I told myself, I am not going to put my effort on anything that was not spirit anymore. You think you have seen wisdom? Wait until you get into his throne. You will see where the wisdom of the old head is kept. That even the things we see here and we celebrate are rubbish. You now understand why God is the way he is. God is not an academic pursuit. It's not something you can go into the class, study and get a degree for. There's just something about him that is different. You can't really wrap your hands around him. He is to be loved and also to be feared. There's just something about him. I remember as I stood there before him in his throne, I couldn't really describe who I was seeing because he was just covered in light. But I also remember that, was it John that was saying he looked at him and he appeared as a sardine stone. Well, Paul was the one telling us, John was the one telling us what a sardine stone was. I don't know what a sardine stone was. But when you look at God and you begin to have indescribable descriptions of who he is, you now understand why the angels are still loyal to him. You think you've seen everything, all of a sudden he just comes out with something new. He's ageless. Asking him how old are you is like the most stupid question. He lives in a timeless eternity. So you look at the man, the first creation, the first recreated man, Adam, and you take a deep look at Adam, and you look at the way he was built. I want to correct something, an impression, maybe this will help you. Most times, and I've taught this myself, when you look at Adam, the impression we have is when God formed the clay, God now breathed into him. And then Adam became a living soul. You're familiar with that. It's safe to think that way. But you see, that is not really the exact description of what really happened to Adam. What really happened to Adam was that while he was there, maybe either laid on the floor as just clay or laid on a wall as just clay, God walked into him. Adam just he became aware. What God put in Adam was not of any lesser quality than himself. What God put in Adam was not like God just mouth to mouth resuscitation or something, no. The original translation from the Hebrew suggests that God possessed that clay. So when Adam came to know himself, he woke up with the essence of God. Adam knew that he was fully spirit. Adam knew that he was fully spirit. Adam knew that because he was fully spirit, animals had to obey him. He knew that nature had to obey him. If Adam had woken up and said, no rain today, that was it. Because it was not Adam that was ever talking. It was the spirit that was living on him. The Bible says, no man knoweth a man except the spirit that is in that man. So Adam, the spirit Adam was the one controlling the natural Adam. And that's why I keep saying that if your gospel is something an unbeliever can preach, you are not called. What you say God told you to be preaching is what an unbeliever can say without knowing Christ. You don't have a calling. So, again, we begin to look at the subject of the spirit man. Because this is that part of us, the real us, that most of us never met. We don't know how to interact with. I wanted to put this thing on Facebook that I'll be teaching on activating the spiritual, the five spiritual senses. I just got tired. I said, no, let whoever wants to come should come. But if you are watching, we're doing Facebook Live so you can listen. I'm just going to do a brief summary. When we come back for prophetic school for probably 3 days, we'll take our time to trash down some of these things. But I began to ask myself, everyone who was ever useful to God, who were they? They were spiritual people. Now, when we talk about spiritual senses, I'm talking about five sense abilities: sight, hearing, taste, touch, and what? And smell. All these natural abilities are also valid and operational in the spirit realm. In other words, your spiritual eyes can see, you can hear. It is with your spiritual ears you hear God. Adam related to God by the spirit. He didn't relate to God. It was not as though God is not a physical being. So when Adam heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, it was not a physical person that was walking there. It was God. But Adam could understand that because he was spirit. Now you look at the phrase or that term, heard God's voice walking. Do you hear voices walking? You can't see voices walking. You understand? You hear voice, but you don't see them walking. So, but in that sight and dimension of revelation, the rules are a bit different. And you have to be careful what you feed your spirit with, because you can feed your spirit with enough knowledge that ties you down here. In that realm, you are either tapping from either three sources. You are either receiving your revelation and your knowledge from the throne of God himself, or you are receiving from Satan himself, or you are receiving from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This third one is the most dangerous, because it has an element of that which is good, that which we can use to justify and say, after all, it produced this. This tree of good and evil will always give you results. But you see, the underlined help me or say, I'm hearing a lot of echoes. There's something that the eventual outcome of the tree of the knowledge and evil is that it will destroy every genuine intention God has for you. So Jesus said to us, take heed how you hear. That one, nobody's going to do it for you. It's you that's going to do it for yourself. He said, take it how you hear. Just because you are an international speaker doesn't mean I'll show up. Because when people speak to you, they are not just communicating their values, they are communicating the spirit in them. That's why songs are spirits. It is not thou shall not listen to so-so person, but you have to look at the spirit that is being transferred and communicated via those songs. But for you, because your body is a danceable body, you dance at anything. So, and there's nowhere in the Bible that says do not dance to secular songs. So for you now, you have embraced the tree of good and evil to find a justification for something that was not clearly written in scriptures, like cigarette smoking. Those who make excuses, make nothing. Continue. Are you still with me? So I'm saying all of this because we need to understand that just like we have five senses with which we relate to this realm, so we have five senses that relate with the spirit realm. Now, all these five senses are voices. You've heard me say many times that the voice of God is not the holy way God communicates with man. You've heard me say that many times. When you walk into a room and there's a foul smell, that is a form of communication like, hey, something is wrong here. Some of us are wired that way spiritually. If we come into an atmosphere that is filthy, we'll pick the smell. You can sense it. You just pick, there's something foul here. It's a spiritual sense. It is a prophetic operation. It is a valid experience. Somebody who has an hearing ability will come in here and hear, foul spirit, foul spirit, foul spirit, foul spirit. Somebody who operates via the prophetic sense of smell comes and like, there's fear in this atmosphere. You pick it. You didn't hear a voice, but you pick it. How many of us have had that kind of experience where you pick a foul smell in your spirit? You say, so it's a valid experience. It's not, it doesn't just, some of you experience it in your dreams. It's as valid in your dream as it is valid in the physical realm. And I say this because, as I share with you, I want you to open your heart. Many of the things we are praying against, if only we knew the spirit that was underlying, operating at the base of that situation, it would be easier to deal with those situations. There are people today who are promiscuous, not because they want to be, but because of an experience they had when they were young. And because of that, even though they are not sleeping with anybody now, but it's actually a battle and a struggle, just that they are not saying it. There are people that cannot stay in a room with somebody of the opposite sex. Even if the guy is not asking for sex, they will force it on him. That's because of the spirit. There's just something in them that when they're alone in a place, that thing comes out. So you can't just come and say, I cast you out in Jesus' name. You have to be able to seek the Lord and say, Lord, how do we go about this? And then Lord will say, okay, we are dealing with a spirit of so-so and so. If not, you spend your time, waste your time doing a lot of prayers. In fact, I recommend that you spend 3 hours seeking the Lord on how to go about it before even praying for that person. So I want to talk to you about a bit of this. And you remember that last week I began to share with you about the issue of the flesh and all of that, because it is the flesh that stands in the way of the full operation of the spirit. It is the flesh that stands in the way. The flesh tells you that you can put your dependence on what your five senses tells you. The spirit tells you that what you are able to assess on that platform is limited. It may not be totally wrong, but it is limited. So you need to move with an upgraded version, and which is your spiritual you. It is whatever, there's a law in life that says whatever you give attention to will increase and grow. So you need to give attention to your spirit. Much of the things you are looking for are not missing. They are just around you. But you need to be able to find your DNA. Find how your spirit operates the most. Everybody has these five senses, but some will be more for certain people. Hallelujah. I hope I'm communicating. Please stay with me. I'll try to do my best on this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. I was trying to write down a few things, I hope. Give me the part where the Spirit came down upon. Matthew chapter 3, I believe, came down upon Jesus. Matthew chapter 3. I'm using Pastor Bola's iPad this morning. Okay, go ahead. Go to where John was saying, you should be the one baptizing me. Okay. And John forbade him, saying, just had said, okay, you baptize me. And John said, no, I can't do this. John understood spiritual protocol. Just because God said, lay hands on a pastor that is older than you in the spirit, not age. I'm not talking age, I'm talking about in the spirit. Just because God said, lay hands on him doesn't mean you should not do it without getting his permission. It is God that will send your message and expect you to borrow sense. God told Moses, I'm sending you for an assignment. Go and do this. And God didn't say anything to Moses about circumcision. It took the wife of Moses to understand what was written, what was being said in between the lines that Moses did not hear. Moses was the one who saw the glory of God, yet he could not see between the lines. It was his wife. Because the moment God sent Moses, God now took a knife and was going to kill the son of Moses. Ah, but God, you sent me. No, you have worked with me close enough to have sense. It was the wife. And I do not believe that Moses did not know. But he was thinking like, how do we do this? You cut your own son. The wife closed her eyes and did it. And God stayed his hand. That boy would have died for nothing. Borrow sense. So just because God said, oh, go and prophesy to a senior man of God, doesn't mean you should not ask for his permission to do so. If you did that, even though God sent you, you would have broken a spiritual protocol. And it's very possible that the angels that walk with that man can begin to fight you. Very possible. Because you would have prophesied after they noticed all the doors shut against you. Be careful. So, say I'm Abba, be the one baptizing you. She said I should baptize you. Abba. You learn those kind of things in the wilderness. Not where they celebrate you as a god. You have to be a wilderness prophet to know this one. Next verse. And Jesus said, hey, guy, let's just do this. Suffer it to be so. Tomorrow in my kingdom, I will baptize you. But now I am in your own kingdom. Baptize me. You know, so that as it becometh us that will feel all righteousness. What that means is that we must not be found to be people that are disobedient to heaven's instruction. This is my welcome party into this world, spiritually. And we must not say because somebody is higher, somebody has to welcome you. And on this earth now, you are the closest to who can bring me into this initiation. So you have to do it. So then he permitted him. That word suffered means allowed or permitted. Next verse. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were what? How many people knew the heavens were opened? Two people. John and Jesus. When the heavens opened over Jesus, the spiritual eyes also opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. You have capacity for sight. Sometimes all you need to do, if you have the seer, I call it the seer anointing, S-E-E-R, is to ask God to step it up. That you want to see clearly. It's not a wrong prayer point. Lord, I'm seeing something, but it's not clear. I'm seeing men as trees. Can you please step the gas up? The heavens opened clearly over Jesus, and he saw the Holy Ghost came upon him like a dove. He didn't see him come like fire. He didn't see him come like water. He saw him come like a dove. In other words, dove symbolic of the fact that many times the Holy Spirit will rest upon us in very quiet ways, and nobody will notice it. Yet it's a valid experience. Sometimes you may not fall under the anointing. You are just there. But it comes upon you like a dove. A very valid experience. But in all of that revival going on, very few people saw it. Do not despise your experiences. Do not despise your encounters with God. Simply because you didn't feel the head shaking did not mean nothing did not happen. Something happened to you. He said the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and bringing light and illumination. And this was one of the things that happened to us yesterday. God gave us a flood beam of light, and there were activations in the spirit. Give me the next verse. And now a voice came. So now we have the spiritual sense of sight, and now we are also seeing the spiritual sense of hearing. He not only saw, he began to hear. There are many times that for those who operate in the seer anointing, they see stuff, but most of their images are without audio. It just goes and you see it. But many times there may be no corresponding voice to bring clarity. Now, if you are somebody that operates in the seer anointing, you need to begin to ask the Lord for wisdom. Because many times, or say, please help me. Many times most of the things you see will be in parables. Some things may not be directly the way it is. So you have to interpret. And I was listening to a man of God. And the man of God said, if he had to choose between a seer anointing and the ability to hear God's voice, he would voice. Because most times what God is saying is what he's saying. You understand? My son, thou shalt arise and go to Nineveh. Simple as ABC. But if the Lord is showing you pictures and images, you need to understand the language of the Spirit to be able to properly interpret what is being shown to you. Sometimes they will be straightforward. Most times they will not be straightforward. So, and you need wisdom to be able to come into accurate interpretations. I once read a man of God. I was reading his book, and he said when he started in the scene anointing, operating the scene anointing, he would come into a place and he would see arrows, long arrows, like as long as from where I am to where Uncle Tio is sitting, pierced through people. Like he could see as much as 12, 24, and the people would sit in service. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. See, then he will go close to them. Before, why is he staring at me? He's looking at the arrows, and the arrows all have names. Depression. Migraine. Like, wow. And he's asking the lady, sorry, I just sense that you had. Can I pray for you? I want to pray that God will heal you from depression. He said, no, don't go there. He said, and because he could see it, he could actually touch it in the spirit. He could touch the arrows. It's like you are just seeing his hand blank in the air, but he is actually holding it. Because with what once you are open up into a realm, you can operate there. You understand what I'm saying? Once you are open up into a realm, you can operate there. So he can actually hold the arrows and pull it out. He said, and the moment he starts to pray for those people and by faith pulls that thing out, you see the person crying, I'm free. But he said the woman actually got up and hugged him. The woman forgot that they were in the church. She hugged the boy. He said he was just about 18 years old then. He was like, slow down, man. Slow down. It's just a prayer. I'm saying that you can be fully active and operate in the spirit like Jesus did. Jesus saw an image of the Son of God, of the Spirit of God descending like dove, and then the heavens activated him. He was also able to hear the voice of the Spirit. And what was he saying? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. If God had not given him the interpretation of the experience, he could have said the dove meant something. I mean, like, go to Terrestrial Church of Hell or something. You understand? He could have read any meaning into that. But with the picture came a prophetic message. This is my son. This is my son. The moment God said that, everything required for Jesus to be able to operate in the earth as the Son of God was delivered. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? With the utterance of heaven over Jesus, it was no more Jesus, son of Joseph. It was now Jesus, son of God. Because now God had come to lay claim over his own son. Any other verse? That last verse? Okay. These are very important things. Quickly. I want to read something there. Pastor David was Galatians 5:25 that he was touching on. Galatians 5:25, if you are there. Say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is as figurative as it is literal. Hello. I hope this message is not too high. I'm trying to be as basic as possible. God is saying, if I'm alive in the spirit, that means I can carry out all normal functions in the spirit, like walking in the spirit. In other words, I can follow God. I can walk after God. I can see the path that he tread and the path he walked in, and I can follow it. That's why you read scriptures and you understand what God is saying to you. Many read the scriptures, the book is closed spiritually to them. You didn't have quiet time simply because you read the Bible this morning. You had quiet time because you saw the steps and you saw his fingers. You saw where he was pointing to. There's nothing religious about reading your Bible in the morning if he is not leading you. So let us also walk in the spirit. That means we have the ability. See, let us. He didn't say the spirit to make you walk. He said let us. That means you have the ability within your spirit to follow him. What you do not give attention to will not be magnified. If you don't know it is possible, every time somebody does this, you feel mesmerized. Like, wow, she's really powerful and spiritual. There's nothing. It's just that's our normal life. There's nothing to it. So let's talk about the gift of sight briefly. Huh? Are you with me? After this, we had some activations yesterday. So I was saying here last night that very soon, if we have first timers, we'll bring them here and we'll prophesy to them. That will be our special song for them. Because people are carrying a lot of stuff and they just need someone to give them a clear word. Prophetic activations. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6. I like Samuel. Samuel is a very deep prophet. One thing I notice about prophets who are extremely deep is that they are very calm people. If you look at Samuel, you get the impression he could be a melancholic person. He just looks at you like... Behold, now there is in this city a man of God. Is an honorable man. All that he seeth, what? Surely comes to pass. I won't dwell on that part. Peradventure. Now let us go there. Peradventure, he can show us our way. Go ahead. I don't want to dwell too much on this. And Samuel said to the servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? Now let me say something briefly here. It is the anointing you maintain that sustains you. Based on this verse. Most of us have the lowest regard for anything that is spiritual. Again, I repeat. It is the anointing you maintain that sustains you. This guy was Jewish and he understood that he could not come to a prophet and be blowing grammar. You are the one with the problem. The prophet is the one with the answer. The prophet, because of the nature of his calling, cannot do any other job. He has to stay with God. You understand what I'm saying? Yet the prophet is not permitted to beg. So how does the prophet survive? If he's dead, then everybody is dead. So this guy borrowed sense. This is not thou shalt. This is just common sense. It's not a doctrine in this church. It is just common sense. Go, next verse. Then the servant answered Saul again, saying, behold, I have here in my hand a fourth part of a shekel of a silver. So they wanted to give the prophet money. That I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. Go ahead. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. You see what I talk about, the seer anointing? The ability to see. The seer. He said, for he that is now called prophet was before time called what? A seer. It's a seer anointing. The ability to see in the spirit. Go ahead. Then said Saul to his servant, well said. Now it was the servant who understood the spiritual dynamics of how to relate with the prophet. Because he was a servant and was also answerable to Saul. Somebody that is always a guy at the top will not understand this one. That was why even Naaman could not relate. Even Naaman could not. He took a servant. Story. Please. Let me just borrow you sense. if they had told you to go and have your bath in Sheraton, it would not have been an issue. Simply because the man didn't even show his face and say, go to that, give me a dirty river in Lagos. Yeah. Go to, Makoko, around the wire. When you see the waters, you will breathe up and down. Because in your mind, you're asking, only God knows how many things are inside this river. You know, all kind of human waste and all. And the man of God said, just no, I don't need to see, just tell him to go and have his bath. 7 times, so not even once. So he will go in, he will wash, come out, then go in and come back. You by the 4th time, you should be used to it, then do it 5, 6, 7 times. Yeah, and you get freedom. Hallelujah. Prophets tell you stupid things. So if you are the one that is very educated, you need a pastor, not a prophet. Because a pastor likes to be, you know, patient, he'll love you. But a prophet will tell you very stupid things like these kind of things. Okay, next verse. And as they went up into the hill, the young maidens went to draw water. And then they asked him, okay, is the seer here? Please, go ahead. Go to the next verse. I want to show you what... has he met Samuel here? No, go to the next verse. There's a verse, look for that place. He said, where they said, are you the seer? Say, we seek the prophet. And do I have it? Verse what? 18. Verse 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where is the seer's house? Hey, they were talking to somebody, they were asking somebody. And Samuel answered. The man they were looking for was the one that they were asking. And Samuel said, I hide myself behind the cross, yet I don't deny what he has made me. Because with every acknowledgement of the grace and the gift of God, I activate that gift. Samuel was so humble, you could almost not know he was the one. He hid himself in a way that he would not have time for politics, and he would just hide himself, still with God. Yet you'll be talking to him, he'll be telling you, it is well. Some of you may have friends like that are extremely gifted, but you didn't see them like that, so the gift doesn't respond. If you have a friend that is prophetically gifted, learn to tell the dividing line. When you are talking to your friend, Jide, and when you are talking to your prophet, Jide, there's a difference. You must learn when the atmosphere shifts. We are talking to a pastor and we are talking to a prophet. Learn when the thing shifts. For you to see the prophet, you have to place a demand on that. Sir, what I need now is a prophetic word. See, can you tell us where the seer's house is? Then it is your own job as a minister to stand and say, I am the seer. The moment you say that, you activate that realm in you. Say, go up before me to the high place. See the first place Samuel took him, to the high place. The high place is a place in the spirit where you can see things clearly. I will stand upon my watch and see what he will say. The watchtower is a place where you stand, you see everything clearly. So what we need to look at is not from here. Come. You must find those places in your life. When you are building your house in the future, keep a very large room as your prayer room. And you write, do not enter in front of it. Don't keep books there. Don't keep a library there. Prepare the room as a temple. When you come in, you take off your shoes outside, you come in. Just have your rug. Maybe you have a CD, an home theater with Wayne Tabino songs or Jesus Culture or Hillsong. And just deal with your Bible and your writing material. It's not that you say you want to go and pray, you are reading. No. This place, there's only one activity that goes on here. And when you are tired, put on some music to push you some more. Say, come, let me take you to the high place. This is where most people in Israel don't like coming. Let's go. For you shall eat with me today. Come and see what we feed on. Come and see what people like us feed on. He said, you will eat with me. I want to take care of you. Don't worry. Keep your money first. Eat. Say, you eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let it go, and I will tell you what is in your heart. Samuel had not asked him what was the issue. The guy was looking for his lost business. He needed to get his company to start again. And God was talking about something totally different. You must have an eye, must borrow sense, and stop thinking. Sometimes the thing you are trying to resurrect, God has killed. He came to say, "Father, I need my business resurrected." God said, "Hey, bro, I have something better here for you. All businesses in the country will pay you tax. Cool down." Next verse. "Oh, and as for thy asses, as I know you will not rest, but let me help you. Those things you are looking for have been found. So that when we get to that month, you can concentrate." So when God gives you a last minute miracle, when you are thinking like, all is lost, God is trying to build a pattern of trust. So that when next you have a child, you will say, I know he will never leave me or forsake me. You can point to steps and places in your life where God showed up at the last minute. If God showed up at the right time, it won't be a miracle. If God showed up at your own time, it won't be a miracle. Okpeo. You say okpeo, but when God shows up at the last minute, you almost killed me here. I say, "Don't worry, I'm here. Okay, peace be still." Bam. Can we move on? You've got to trust him at that level. Because even in assessing your spiritual senses, if the issue of trust in God is not settled, you begin to doubt yourself. Come, is this my mind playing games on me? When you see people that have the seer anointing, you should love them. It's one of the most powerful ways of assessing God. And one of the beautiful things about what you see in the spirit is that you can't deny it. It's you are seeing it. Now, let me also break this down a bit. The way we all see differs. In my entire life, I've only heard one audible voice. When I talk about seers, I talk about people with the ability to see in the spirit in terms of open visions, closed visions, trances, prophetic dreams. So there are people that God could give them a whole load of information for 3 weeks, 3 months in a sequence of events. They'll be dreaming every night for like 7 days. It's called the valley of visions. Hello, have you heard of the valley of visions in scripture before? There's a place that is called the Valley of Visions. I think was it Jeremiah or Ezekiel that was talking about it. The Valley of, once you come into that place like this, oh boy, you'll be dreaming. You know. I have a part of, in a specific period in my life, once every year, I go there. I get there. It's not that I know my way there, but I just notice that for that period, night after night, once I close my eyes, I will just be seeing things. It could continue for like 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. I've not been able to track the exact period it's always happened, but I know that once every year, I will just continue to have sequence of events like that. What, except I don't close my eyes. But if I sleep, it will start. Something will come up again. So when I say seers, I'm not necessarily talking about people that see visions when we're in church. I'm talking about everybody who has the capacity to see, and everybody has the capacity to see. It's just that for some people, it's more heightened. And I said to you that even if you have it just in a glass full, you can ask the Lord for clarity's sake, can you please increase it? Some people see in their spirit. The man who sees inside the spirit doesn't have a lesser experience than somebody who sees a open vision. A open vision is you're having an experience and you are seeing it outside of you. It's as though you are looking at a screen. As though you are looking at a screen. But it's very compelling and captures you. But meanwhile, you could be seeing a vision in your heart and it's just going there and you are still doing everything you are doing on the outside. You're like, "Oh, what was that? You saw something." Sometimes it comes so quick, pew, like a flash. It just goes through you like, what? You just caught the major, you know, parts or images of that picture. Many times, some of those images will be without audio, no voice. It just goes very quickly. So you have to train you can't see those things with your natural eyes. You have to train your spiritual eyes to capture it as it's flashing. Just capture it. Don't let me overdwell here. John chapter 5 and verse 19. I want to show you something. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Quickly. Oh gosh. Please let me look at my time. I have just 5 minutes and I'm just on the second line of my message. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but that which he... This is an operation of the seeing gift. So every time Jesus went in the night to pray, it was not just prayer. After he prayed, the Lord will give him the lowdown for the next day. So it was a great tragedy for Jesus to just sleep and say he's tired today, when he knows the implication. He doesn't know what the Pharisees are planning. It is that night he will know. So Jesus, it was better for Jesus to sleep in the day. You understand what I'm saying? And stay awake at night, because it is night, they'll bring the fire. Nicodemus is coming tomorrow. They will ask you to come and eat. Don't eat when they give you. When they give you tea, there's something inside. The last man who drank tea didn't wake. Don't drink whatever they give you tomorrow. Tomorrow you are fasting. Say tomorrow your brothers will come and tell you that if you are the man of God, go into the city. Don't listen to them. Let them go. Then go your own side. It was in the place of prayer that the Lord began to show him those images of things to probably expect for the next day. If you are this type of person that you see a lot when you pray, my brother, don't let them force you to pray. Find appetite for it. If you are eating bitter leaf and you cannot eat because of the bit, be eating it till it becomes normal. Are you listening to me? If you know you are this type of person that I'm talking about, that any time you spend time in prayer, after some time your spirit, you just become very aware, you begin to see things. Please, don't let your boss deceive you. You'll be doing yourself a great disservice, because much of these things answer to a consistent prayer life. Wow. Let me talk about few. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 14. I used to have this experience a lot, and I never knew how to explain it until recently. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, and what caught my attention was what? The heat. Are you seeing something? He could feel the Spirit lift him. That's a spiritual sense of feeling. He didn't just vanish. He felt the process as he was going. He felt the heat of being close to the Lord. He felt the burning heat of his proximity to the Lord. Like I was sharing yesterday, there are people that they don't see anything. They're as blind as a bat. But their spiritual sense of feeling is very powerful. They will come into a place and tell you, there are three angels in this place, and they are right. They will tell you one is on that side, one is on this side, one is here. And the person with the seeing gift will see the three angels. They will not see, but they will feel them. They can tell when the atmosphere changes in a place. It is, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. We are worshiping God, or suddenly the atmosphere changes, you feel it. You didn't see anything, but you felt it. That is the sense of feel. Sometimes you are praying, you just sense that there's an anointing that rested upon you. Or maybe we're in the place of worship, you just feel like, wow, something is different. Yet you didn't see anything. It was the spiritual sense of feel that was in operation. Don't despise it. Because many of you are asking, oh God, you are not talking to me. God is saying, hey, this is like the 71st time I'm having to say this to you. Why I'm sharing all of this is so that you can find what has been more frequent in your own life. Then begin to dig deep on that side. Make it to pray around it, so it can be, the gift can begin to operate in a very powerful way. No time. Taste. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 1. There's a popular scripture alive for taste. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, you can taste in the spirit. Amen. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go and speak unto the people out of Israel. I was sharing this yesterday and I said, there are prophets and there are people that they have experiences like this even now. Just that many times when people have experiences like this, the Lord will forbid them to speak about it. The reason why this is happening is to provide validation, so that if you have an experience where the Lord comes to you and where the Lord comes to you and gives you something to eat, it's not every time you eat in the dream that is the devil. Sometimes you are just hungry. Sometimes it's the Lord. Amen. Look at this man's baptism into the high order of the prophetic. The Lord didn't come to him and say, speak this and that. The Lord came to him and said, look, all of what I want you to do is inside this food. Eat the food first. So the moment he ate that food, the prophecy was born in him. Then the Lord now said to him, go and speak. The Lord never said, this is the message. The Lord only said, eat. But the moment he chewed the food, go to the next verse. He said, I opened my mouth and he cursed me. It's a spiritual operation, because the food may not be looking as inviting, but he cursed me to eat that roll. That's where we got sausage roll from. Amen. Verse 3. He said, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels. Don't spare anything. When I give you my word, when I ask you to study my word, don't be doing it like someone who is having kwashoko. Eat the word. Don't be in a, so that it doesn't look like you didn't study your Bible today. That's where most of us read the Bible, so that it won't be like we didn't study today. You want to give yourself a reason. You are finishing yourself. Look at what he said. He said, cause thy belly to eat. Force it. Many times the word of God is not convenient. Say, force it. Cause your belly to swallow this thing. Digest it. It's a prophecy. Digest it. Say, when I did eat it, it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Verse 4. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak my words unto them. So everything the Lord was saying to him, it was in the word of God, was in what was the food of the spirit, what was being given to him. When you understand why you have to study scriptures, you don't play with it again, because you now know why. It's not because they said I should read my Bible, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. No. Now you have found that every time you found the word of God, it was in your heart the rejoicing, or it brought the rejoicing of your soul. So you can taste in the spirit. And there are people that have these experiences, but they are not saying anything because they don't want to sound weird. And it's not the devil. There are people who have had experiences from the Lord where the Lord gave them something to eat, and they woke up and the disease had vanished. The disease in their body had vanished. There are people who had experiences like this, and the Lord said, I'm not going to take the disease out of your body, but I'm going to quarantine it. It will be in your body. If they check your blood, they will see it, but it will have no power over you. Are you still with me? So these are valid spiritual experiences, and it is important for you to know the ones that operate with you, so that you can learn over time to trust them. When they begin to, when you come into a place and you begin to feel that there's a strange atmosphere, you will feel it with your spirit, not this body. And please, may I tell you, this body is not the flesh. I don't have all the time. I'll come back for that. When you say flesh, it was the flesh. It's not this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because we find these restrictions in us because we think our problem is the body. And that the spirit is the one that is knowing God. And this soul, hey, is condemned. Go and Google up all the verses that in the scripture that have soul. You will find more good than evil in the soul. Are you still with me? Just stay with me. Don't worry. I'll come back and fix this. Because when you think flesh, most time you think it's this thing. It feels safe to think it's this. It's not this one. This one is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is where God dwells. You are a carrier of God in the earth. So there's no reason why you should not have all these five senses operational. So if they are not operating, somebody doesn't have the right information. Which one have I left out? smell. I find this one a lot in my own life, actually. I didn't know about it until I started experiencing it, and I never considered it a valid experience until after a lot of research. Let's try Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18 quickly. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Have you ever been in God's presence before and you began to smell some kind of fragrance? Aroma. You're like, wow. Yes. It's a spiritual sense of smell. Nobody came before the service started and sprayed anything. It's just the way it is. Amen. Say, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, and it's a sacrifice, what? Acceptable and well-pleasing to the Lord. And many times you will find in scripture that when sacrifices are given, it is the aroma that the Lord really appreciates. From the aroma, you will know if God has accepted the offering, if he has rejected it. The problem with Abel's, with Cain's sacrifice was not that he didn't offer it to God. Cain gave God what he wanted. Abel gave God what God wanted. Think about it. God wanted something that reminded him of redemption. So Abel gave God a sacrifice in blood. Are you seeing something? That's why God made his decision. This one is smart. This one gave me something from his own effort. I don't want your effort. I want what only God can do. Redemption. That's the only thing. And for you to realize the pain of Cain, you will see that. Can you imagine? I should have eaten this thing in my house. I even came to bless you. The same thing they did here was what the servant asked Saul to do. They didn't give Samuel out of what they had. They gave him all they had. Say, I have left. And God saw that faith and he triggered the prophetic anointing. Did you hear Samuel ask them for money? But they borrowed sense. Abi, in fact, Samuel took the money without saying anything. So there are just some things you see in scripture that should trigger your the way you relate with God. This is not thou shalt or thou shalt not. It just kind of reshapes the way you relate with God. I want to say something here. Signs are signs. S-I-G-N-S. Signs are voices. But signs can be misleading. But they are voices. The only way for it to be accurate in his reading is for you to bring your will under the influence of the Holy Spirit. There are people, if they are on a journey that they are not supposed to go, when they get out of it, they will see signs in the spirit. They can even see someone wearing a t-shirt saying, don't go. I'm telling you. I once watched a film of David and Saul. But it was acted in a modern way. I think they called that film Kings. A season film. Kings. But they changed. David's name was David. Samuel's name was... Prophet Samuel was Reverend Samuel. In the film. Then there was Jonathan. Then they just give them very fancy names. But you will know that it was the story of David. And when David got tired of everything Saul was, and was going to walk away from the kingdom, he was going away. He just saw someone wearing a t-shirt. And was waving a flag on the street. He didn't know the guy from Mary. And on the t-shirt was written, don't go. Just stopped. He said, stop the car. Stop the car. Turn around. Let's go back. So it was a clear sign from the Lord for him. But you know, those things can be misleading except you bring your will under the will of God. That's how you could be having a chat with a friend. All of a sudden, there's a switch. He's saying something. You know, this is not your friend again. God is talking to me. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you've ever had that experience before. You just saying like, something changed. The only way to walk in these things accurately that I describe is to bring your will under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Quickly, let me share this one briefly. This is just like a quick summary. Today's message is like a quick summary. how to be able to walk in a grace in the things like this, the gift of God like this. Number one, there are at least three ways, but I'll talk about just two. You can get it by impartation. You can get it by impartation. Number two, if you already have the gift in you, if you come in contact with another gift of God, maybe a prophet that operates in a higher dimension of that gift, he can upgrade it. Is somebody listening to me? Did you hear what I just said? Ha! Have I lost you? Are you here? Did you hear what I just said? Paul said, I long to come to you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. That's what Paul said. Huh? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Saul, in this story, eventually ended up prophesying. Huh? You remember the story? Saul ended up prophesying, but he was not before that time a prophet. Another way you can get this thing is by association. If you move with prophets, you prophesy. Are you hearing me? If you move with prophets, you will what? You will prophesy. There's what you call the environmental anointing. If you come around it, you begin to manifest like those things. Like what? That prevailing grace in the house. If you are someone that is not very audible or very vocal in your expression, if you come close to someone like Pastor Paul Adefarasin, after like 6 months, you just notice that I just want to bless him with grandiose and majestic God, and you just begin to flow and vibe and vibe and vibe. People like, hey, that's not you say. You don't know what happened to me, man. You may get out of that man's space. I just notice that you're just back to your praise the Lord. Can we look at God's word this morning? Amen. But you can come if you are close to a very dominant anointing. You can plug into that grace just by reason of being around. So it's good for you to be able to tell when you are talking to your pastor or when you are talking to a prophet. It's good for his wisdom to know which time it is. So let's talk about the one for impartation. Impartation can come by the laying of hands. Many times, in modern times, impartation can come by reading the books written by such people or watching their videos. You watch it consistently. You draw that grace close to you crazily. It's not the one you listen today and then you listen to it in the morning, listen to it in the night, listen to it every day, every day, every day. Especially if it's someone that is operating at a higher level of what you have in you. So what that man is doing at that point is not to give you the gift. Is upgrading it, because there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. Are you hearing me? There is no distance in the realm of the spirit. When Benny Hinn went to Catherine Kuma's meeting, Catherine Kuma didn't lay hands on him. He sat in that building and was like, wow. And he just and what was the song she was singing that day? Then sings my soul. And Benny Hinn was, he would see people come on the stage, they could not stand 10 feet close to Ketuku, and the power of God will pick able-bodied men, power, throw them this side, power, throw them, and she comes close to you, power, you are just like, Benny was just beginning to explain to his people, but he had never seen anything like that before, and his heart just grabbed it, and that was it. Exactly, look at Benny today when he's ministry, almost exactly like that. Most people believe that Benny took over the mantle of Catherine Kuhlman. Benny doesn't like to admit it, but yeah, it's, we understand. It's okay. You have your own anointing. Don't worry. Amen. It is hearts that draw on hearts. You must have an idea of what you are looking for in this person. You can now dig deep into it till your hands can hold it. Hold it firmly. It don't come by you trying to. You can stay with the Lord and get your own anointing. But if you see, I think it's only wisdom that if I have somebody who has gone beyond me in certain things, I should try and get close to the person. Are we together? This is not, I'm not talking about hero worshipping. There's no true prophet of God that wants hero worshipping. Are you listening? But I'm telling you how these things happen. When Archbishop Benson Dawsa was alive, and a lot of people were carrying big, big titles, at some point he said, go and check. He said, this one, it will not last. This one, it will not go far. This one, he will just be there. Say, go and check my son, David. David Oedipo. Are you still with me? David Oedipo was not living in Benin City, but he was not far from Benin City. He was always there. David Oedipo even speaks better in some ways. In terms of practical teaching, he will teach you based on scripture. Archbishop could teach you for 2 hours and not open one verse. And if you challenge him, he will bring a cripple. So you tell this one to walk. I'm telling you something. You're asking me that I didn't open Bible. What's your problem? So you opened this thing. He was going to a city to preach, a country to preach. And they asked him, they said, okay, send us some of your videos so that we'll see what you do. He sent some videos to them. Then when he got to the country, they said, okay, you know, come up, let's have a small meeting. Then we'll now plan for the big meeting. So when he got to the point, they asked him, say, so what does God do in your ministry? He said, well, I don't know, but when I preach, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Say, oh, really? Say, is this something that God does over? He said, bring them now. Let me give you this for those who didn't come yesterday. Abraham was a prophet. Oh, this thought I just left, and hear this. Abraham was a prophet, right? But did Abraham prophesy? Huh? I want you to marry these two thoughts together. Because no two prophets are the same. Abraham was a prophet. He didn't prophesy. But he had the workings of a prophet. Why? Because he was a prophetic intercessor. Are you with me? Abraham used to legislate all the things he had to do with nations. Whether he was fighting five kings, or he was interceding for Lot, or things along. You find that Abraham always had things to do that involved nations. Look at even the prophecy of his son. You'll be the father of nations. He had this thing to do with nations, but he wasn't prophesying and doing all those stuff. Abraham never even called himself a prophet. It was when they took his wife that God now went to tell the king that, say you are a dead man. Say you took the wife of a prophet. That was the day I knew I was very important. He said you took the wife of a prophet. You can't take anything that you say you are a dead man. This thing, there's only one punishment for it. It's death. Amen. So if you are my spiritual son or my spiritual daughter or maybe my wife here, amen, you're lucky, man, because the reward is dead for anybody who touches you, amen. I like that part. So Abraham was at home crying that he just lost his wife to a more powerful person, and yet God did it. Even just God showed up at the man's door. Okay, say, but the man didn't tell me was my. I say you are dead. You don't understand. This doesn't matter whether you are right or you didn't mean evil. Is that thing in your house now? He say yes. Say you are dead. The day did not break. He packaged the woman back with gifts to the man of God. Say then, Abraham now blessed him. Say, and God healed his house. Say, operated in the healing anointing. But you see, he was not very loud. He was a businessman. Let's talk about the money, okay? So, he knew what he knew. As a prophet, don't do anything to draw attention to yourself. Very important. I said that because I wanted you to see something powerful about Abraham that reminded me of Archbishop. The calling was that of a prophet, but the operation was faith. Somebody needs to catch what I just said. Every time his prophetic anointing was flowing, you saw faith in action. Because even the challenge in his own life needed faith. So God was stretching him to accommodate impossible things. It was not just faith for money, faith for food. It was faith for impossible things. The kinds of things Abraham is believing God for, only God can do it. So Abraham had learned not to look at man. He said he received the prophetic word, and he said, at this time of life, your wife shall be pregnant. As at this time, the woman is almost 100 years. There is nothing on earth that can make it happen. But he held on to the prophetic word and knew that if God said it, then he could do it. Abraham, God said to him, take your son up on the mountain and kill him. When Abraham was going to the mountain, he said to them, we are going to make sacrifice to the Lord and we shall return. He knew he was going to kill his son, but with the operation of faith, he didn't see himself coming back alone. He saw himself coming back with his son. That was a very strong operation of the gift of faith. That was the kind of faith Archbishop was working with. Many times, God will grow that dimension of faith in your pain. In some of the things you are going through, it will stretch you till you feel you can't take anymore. It will stretch you. It's not that it can't solve your problem, but it doesn't want to just solve your problem. It will stretch you. It will stretch you till you will be begging for life. And when it stretches you, bam, something is born. Faith. Tomorrow when you walk into any place and you say, hey, you know, man of God, the situation is very bad. The axe head is lost. The business is gone. Say, show me the place. That's what Elisha said. Say, show me the place where the axe head. The moment they showed him, the axe head came back. There's a dimension and operation of faith that you must come into as a result of your walk with God. Not just signs, not just miracles, not just giftings. You must come into a place of faith, because in the prophetic, there is a switch. I don't know if you just heard me. I just said something now. I said in the prophetic, there is a switch. You can turn it on and you can turn it off. Most times what we've experienced is that you can, the pastor is ministering and then supernaturally the Lord brings the prophetic anointing upon him and begins to prophesy. But when you begin to operate in this level of stretching and of faith, Mamroto, you can cross earthly into eternal by faith. Faith is the switch to the supernatural. 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 He calleth those things that be not as though they were. Faith is the switch to the supernatural. Faith is the switch to the supernatural. Faith is the switch to the supernatural. Faith doesn't respond to feelings. Faith doesn't respond to the doctor's report. Faith doesn't respond to what is obvious. He said he called those things that be not. He said, well, the doctor said, I lost one kidney. New kidney. Now, you just call those things that be not. As you knew before you started praying that the kidney was coming back. He knew that he was going to sacrifice his son, but he's still coming back with his son. He counted the Lord faithful that he was able to raise his son, even though he was going to kill the son. The only way Abraham could have walked to this path and gotten there and not failed the test was because he had a walk with God. He used all the gifts of God in his life to enhance his walk. Are you listening to me? It's not just to have a word of knowledge for people. If you are smart, you can use your spiritual gift to strengthen your relationship with God. Because if you are someone that sees a lot, some of the things you see, you can discuss it with the Lord. But Lord, what is this one? Lord, can you teach me this one? Lord, open my eyes. Where is this in the scriptures? And then you begin to study. You begin to seek for more knowledge by studying. I listened to a man of God who said when he started to operate in this gift of the seer, he said he read 150 books. Hallelujah. Oh God. My time is up. So I'm talking about impartations here. And I'm saying that the thing about the impartation is that once it comes upon you, it brings you into a new realm. The new realm that was imparted to you. Are you listening to me? So you can come into a place from not seeing even a blind bat to a realm where everything is clear. Everything is clear. Everything is clear. Everything is clear. Peter, it was wrong for Jesus to be saying, hey, Peter, why are you not serious? Don't you know you will be the one to take over when I go? There was no need. But when the Holy Ghost came upon Peter, they didn't need anybody to say, who will hold the mic? Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken. Peter, all of a sudden, new scriptures. Peter, fisherman, all of a sudden, new scriptures. Peter, all of a sudden, new scriptures. The Bible said in one service, 3,000 converts. Even when Jesus preached, it was stoned. They were using to greet him. 3,000 people did not give their life. All of a sudden, after his stretching, Peter, with broken English and everything, 3,000 souls. Second meeting, 5,000 souls.
The church grew by at least close to 10,000 people in just two meetings. It's an impartation. 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 Is it possible that some of these challenges you are going through that have lingered is because God is trying to bet faith in you? He's trying to bet the gift of faith in you. Give faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. I'm not saying faith for healing. I'm saying faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. The world will keep saying whatever they like to say on Facebook, on social media and all, because they haven't seen your faith. By the time you step out, after the Lord has worked on you and you are groomed, you will tell them, look, I'm not talking to you about a Jesus you just read in scripture. I know the things I have seen and heard of him. As at the book of, what was that book? I think his first, was it First John? Where John was saying, the things I speak to you are the things that we have seen, the things we have heard, the things we have handled. Say, you see the gift of what? Of touch, of feel. We didn't just, because at that point in Israel, in the state of the church, many people were beginning to preach in church history that Jesus did not come in the flesh. That's why you see all those teachings, they were direct answers to the agitations of that day. Yeah, Jesus did not come in the flesh. Jesus was not really, he was not really the Son of God. People came up with all kind of Gnostic teachings that rendered the faith of people useless. And when John came out, you will see that it is only a John God can send that kind of message. Because John put his head close to his close to his chest. And when every other disciple turned back, John stood his ground. John was there at the cross and saw him weep and saw him bleed and saw him die. John saw Jesus say, this is now your mother. Go! Don't watch me die the final death. Everybody ran. It was the one who was in love that stood. So John said, hey, you guys are small boys. You just came and joined us. I saw him. I touched him. I know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking to you about some person that came. I had the revelation of him. He is the word of life. He said, I know the things I speak to you. And then John began to speak about fellowship. He began to speak about if you walk in the light. He began to take the argument from what was understandable to a realm that was higher than everybody. He said, if you walk in the light, as is in the light, oh, I can walk in the spirit. He said, we have fellowship, koinonia, one with another. He said, oh, you don't understand that thing. He was saying, if I am walking in the light, as is being revealed to me, he said, as he is in the light, then the Father and I has fellowship. And in the midst of our fellowship, blood flows. See, if we walk in the light as is in the light. You say what? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus. That's why many times you will notice that you committed a sin and you asked God for forgiveness, but your heart was still heavy. Then you now came to church or for a fellowship. And while the meeting was up, by the time they were sharing the grace, you felt better. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's just like, wow. Because when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, it flows and begins to cleanse. There are things about this faith that we don't know. Not because they have not been given, but because we have deliberately closed our mind to them. Let me close. As I began to meditate on this thing the last 1 week, I noticed, I now began to understand what had been going on in my life for about 3-4 weeks. And I realized that my ability to interact with the spirit realm increased tremendously. 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 And it's not because of anything. It's given to every one of you because you are sons. I want you to go back and take a look at your life properly. Find out which sense, which spiritual sense, or what, it could be one or two, operates more with you. Then begin to study along those lines. Begin to develop along those lines. You can have the 05. All you have to do is ask him. But you see, there's a way you are configured. Go and understand. Nobody will find that for you. Don't wait for a prophecy to find that. A prophecy can do it, but I'm saying you can do it. Because when David will face Goliath, he will do it alone. We have to do it alone. Now, when the spotlight is not on you, find that part of you that is deeply spiritual. Understand it. So that day that will be required for you to lean on it, you would have understood the operations. You say, hey, I'm not sure. Something told me. Ah! There's no room for that. Something told me. At what stage? What stage? At this stage, something. Do you know that if the devil speaks to your heart, you may know it's the devil? There's a way the devil talks. You know, he needs no introduction. You are telling me that you know the voice of the devil better than the voice of God. Is that what you are saying? Because for some reason you are afraid to say God said. But you say, ah, the devil spoke to, it was too obvious. Let me give you a simple formula. Whenever God speaks, it brings faith. Whenever Satan speaks, it brings fear. That's a very basic rule. Very basic rule. If God is showing you a dream, and when somebody died in the dream, if he's the one showing you, you will be seeing it, you will not be afraid. If the devil is the one tormenting you, you will jump out of your sleep into the real world. Like, you'll be sweating. The spirit realm is real. Don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let anybody deceive you. You can interact with that realm. Because if you walk in the light, as is in the light, then the Father and I, we will have fellowship. One with another. And the blood of Jesus, the testament, will cleanse me and prepare me for every revelation that is coming, making me a worthy temple to be able to receive the things that are being given. These are not things for seemingly spiritual people. It's something that has been given to us. If Paul walked in it, Paul said, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the spirit or in the body, I cannot even tell. What type of experience is that? Where you cannot sometimes tell if what you are seeing is here or there, but it is valid. The greatest hindrance to moving in the spirit is fear. Because many times you are like, am I sure it's not my mind? Am I sure it's not, I'm not cooking up these things? The devil knows you are powerful when you are in the spirit. So he will do everything to tie your mind here. Because as long as it ties your mind here, even when you say, in Jesus' name, and the statue is still there, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, but when you see in the spirit, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, pick yourself up and be removed. He didn't ask you to go and push the mountain. He said you say to the mountain. In other words, the mode of operation in the spirit realm is words. 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 You need something to move, speak to it. You need something to move, speak to it. Don't speak. There's a way you pray. Even both everybody, devil, God, you yourself, angel, everybody know that you are not sure yet. Because it shows in your desperation. There's a desperation of faith. There's a desperation of, hey, God, wherever you are, just be hearing me now. They say, be thou removed and be cast into the ocean. Give it direction. He said, if you do not doubt, you will have what you say. Mark 11:23. You will have what you say if you do not doubt. I challenge you. Find that part of you that has been hidden and bring it out. You can tell a bad business if you understand your five senses. You can tell a bad business before you start. The Spirit of God does not lie.
eventually Saul was not able to sustain his experience. Why? He had no relationship with God. He was a God user, like somebody on crack. He uses God when he feels good, when he doesn't feel good. And when God turned his back on him, instead of finding God, he went to look for a medium. What you do when you're under pressure shows where you really are. Place a huge premium on your relationship with God. Follow him because he's worthy to be followed. There is nothing our God cannot do. God is God and there is none else. Until you see him as he truly is, then he cannot be God to you. He specializes in the impossible. He thrives on impossibility. That is who he is. Seek him in a new way today. Begin to seek him in a new way today. Begin to seek him in a new way. Tell yourself, I'm going to change my approach today. That I'm not just going to be his son. I want to learn at his feet. That from now on, I'm going to change my approach to him.
We know you've been blessed with these words. So you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center. Satellite bus stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.